Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, Gothamites. We are here to talk about Gotham Season 4, Episode 3, They Who Hide Behind Masks. Join us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So we're here.
It's another week.
Ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
So this is the cover?
This is
It's
very angelic.
It's very simple, nice.
I feel like
things got started here on Gotham, relationship-wise. But I'm not alone. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. But I'm not alone. I'll say that twice because there was a glitch in the Matrix starting to my far left.
Hi, guys. I'm Carla Belcher, and I'm super excited to be part of this panel. You can find me on Instagram at Carla with a K, B-E Travels, and on Twitter at Carla Belcher with an R at the end.
What's up, guys? I'm Zach Peter. You can follow me at Just Plain Zach across all social media platforms, and that's Zach with that K.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Yes.
So, Barbara and Roz. First off,
ew!
Can we just decide on a pronunciation before we even get into the ship?
Okay.
Can we get into a pronunciation? Is it Roz or Raish? We need to
what
decide
I
as a panel.
I don't hear from Roz. Anyone is Raish. It just sounds so
Raish
awful
sounds
on the
gross.
Ears.
Raish sounds like if I saw Raish on Tinder, I'd be like swipe left, just name alone.
No, I can't.
Like, that's
you
not
can't
happening.
Scream that during sex. Also,
exactly.
There's no H
thank
at the
you.
End of his name, like it's. What Raish? It's with a S at the end. It should be Roz. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's Roz.
So
I like
for
the
purposes
that
of this panel, it is Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul. Yes.
So we have decided henceforth that at least for the Gotham After Show, it is Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
I'm happy we settled that. Now let's get into what went down.
The disgustingness that was. I found a relationship I won't ship, Steve.
That is kind of impressive, Joelle.
I know. I ship everyone. I love love. I hate this relationship. I don't know what it means. It's gross.
So, we were talking about how we like how Gotham takes very interesting takes on existing canon.
That's true.
Let's be fair, that's exactly what this is.
It is an interesting take on existing canon, but it's frustrating because I don't feel like Raj is the kind of person who experiences romantic love. I don't think that that's the thing that interests him. It's weird.
But allow me a volley. Do you think he's actually experiencing romantic love, or do we think he's faking it to
he's
manipulate
faking
Barbara.
It. He's
I think
faking
he's
it.
Faking it. Yeah, does definitely.
He need to he's totally make? Faking it.
Here's the thing, though. If you've been around for 1,000 years, like, why? Like, he could kill her. He could just force her. She's willing to do whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see what leverage he needs against her. Like, she's clearly already going to do whatever he asks her to. So okay. Why fake the relationship?
That's true.
Perhaps. Fair. Well, I think that there's room for that answer. There's room for us to get that answer. And I have faith in this show to actually give it to us. Because there is a lot of canon to him that you cannot ignore.
That is true.
And he's not a mantle character like you could argue for a lot of the people on Gotham that we have to be. I give them credit that that's coming.
Well, personally, what my theory was about this is the fact that maybe she's the first person that he brought to life, and that's why he maybe has this sort of connection with her as to why he might not be romantically, like, inclined with her, but he might have this
you
kind of connection of, like, she's somewhat of my, like, you know, like, this person that I...
I would at least buy into that story.
Yeah.
If that's the story they're going to go with, I'd be like, all right, I guess.
Or he's a sociopath that doesn't believe in romantic love, but he gets off on messing with mortals.
Yeah, I think
messing
it's more
with
of that.
Mortals' idea of romantic love.
I think it's more of along the lines of that. And you're going to hate me for the reason I don't like this ship and the reason I veto it is because I think Barbara's too good for him.
No, I don't hate that at all. I don't know if I feel like Barbara's too good for anyone. Barbara's kind of a hot mess. I love her.
But I love it. She's like here. And I think she can do better than him.
I just really enjoy like masterminds who are like singularly focused. And a relationship automatically diverts your focus and your attention.
Yeah.
Even if it's fake, it's just a lot of energy you have to spend on like getting that person where you're trying to get to them. Yeah. I just feel like I would prefer, like, the suit and tie Raj that we get. He's just like, look, I need the knife, I need to do the things, and we're blowing up the city. I miss that.
But that's what I like about this version of Ra's al Ghul that I believe I've said before is kind of a sloppy version. Like, he's not...
Are we comparing him to others?
But specifically to compare him to Liam Neeson, he's a very... Like, everyone would be a sloppy version if you compared him to Liam Neeson.
Version. Yeah, when you compare anybody to Liam Neeson.
Even the Arrowverse version.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which I think the Arrowverse version also was incredibly mortal to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's very weird. I don't like it either.
But I think this is a very, very good take that at least right now he comes off as very sloppy and mortal and human and messy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I like that. I like, if only for storytelling, that he's messy because he's going through some stuff and, like, he needs to mess with mortal love to try and understand it, or, like, we can get motivation
later. Yeah, I like
later.
Humanizing okay. our villains. I'm down with that.
I no. choose the animated series. Like, that's who I want. I'll deal with this one. I'm interested to see where it goes, because they implemented him much more into the series than I thought they would. I knew he was going to be our big bad, but I kind of had a feeling that he would be like the Court of Owls, where there's a lot of behind the scenes, and then every once in a while, like, and then he emerges from the darkness. So I'm kind of excited to see how messy he can get.
No, I agree. I thought he would be like Vince McMahon in wrestling, where, like, Vince McMahon shows up in wrestling. For those of you who don't follow it, Vince McMahon in pro wrestling shows up, like, once every... Like, probably twice every 12 months. Like, once every 6 months.
And it's always like a dun-dun-dun moment. You're like, oh, no!
And it's always infallible, where he comes in like, we're doing this! And then he leaves. And then that's that sets forth the motion of television for, like, a year.
Totally.
So I like Ra's al Ghul that way, in theory, but I really like this approachable version that we're seeing now. It's messy. It's there. He lost his sword somehow.
What did you do, bud?
How did you misplace the sword?
Like
the,
yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No, especially when it's like this important. Like, also, I feel like that's like I never misplace my phone, and I feel like his sword is way more important than like my phone is to me.
That's so true.
Like,
well, also, this far from a prediction. However, the Lazarus Pit went from Arabia to 125 AD to Gotham.
Yeah,
now. I think has something to do with how the sword moved too.
Yeah, do you think they postmates that?
Was
that an option? Uber Eats?
Does every continent have a Lazarus Pit?
I mean, if the Lazarus Pit is just water, technically it could be in multiple places.
I mean,
that's true.
I really could you make fair. A Lazarus Pit.
I really thought they'd be excited and be like, "Yeah, just drink more water and it'll save your life." The whole water rant at the top of the show was exciting to me. It was amazing. It was wonderful. I was like, yes, do. Drink more water. Save lives. Come back from the dead.
So we can talk about Bruce and the sword now.
Okay.
And Bruce in general. I'm really happy with everything we got Bruce and Alfred.
Except the costume.
Yeah, I hated the costume.
How much did you guys talk about the costume last week?
We touched on it.
Okay, so it can happen now.
But, I mean, I don't think I like the costume, but I don't like the mask. I think the costume is just fine.
Why is he in, like a puffy, like, it's a winter biker jacket. Coat? It looks like a North Face jacket, and I hate it.
I think it's more of a biker jacket. It's with, puffy. With, like, the spiny thing.
He's trying to look tough.
No, it's not doing it. And the thing is, like, I've seen, like, motorcycle gear where it's, like, you know, the jacket that has, like, the spine in it, so if you fall, you don't, like,
That's
what it looks like to me. It doesn't look like a North Face jacket. It looks like...
It doesn't look like a North Face.
No, it's not cool
enough. It's a really tough, like, armadillo style.
I want to talk to Lucius and be like, why have we not worked your armadillo style more? It's a problem.
But, like, let us know in the comments. I am hashtag pro Batsuit.
What?
Pro baby Batsuit.
I have never heard you say this when we were watching this. I feel like we were all unanimously against.
I'm pro baby Batsuit.
You guys are both wrong.
Oh my God.
I'm just going
on
saying that.
Because, I don't think it would have been nice for him to start out with, like, a super hardcore, like, cool costume.
I agree.
Because then it, like, the transition won't be the
same. There's nowhere to grow.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, but Bruce has money. Like, we could have brought Zach Posen to design something way more stylish than that.
But I also feel like, to me, it's not so much, like, I don't mind evolving the suit, but I just wish it would progressively get cooler, whereas I felt the long, like, duster coat looked much cooler and badass than whatever the bubble suit he's in now is. I just really hate it. It doesn't feel like a superhero. It feels like the Michelin Man. spray painted black.
But he's technically not a superhero yet.
Yeah, he's superhero in the making.
Yeah.
So everybody has like a place to have bad outfits it's before like, they become.
Yeah, this is awkward teen years.
This is awkward teen
years. I now can accept this suit.
At least he's not wearing like a blanket as a cape or like something where like.
That would be highly problematic.
But at least it's not like that. At least he has something that's bulletproof.
Yeah, a little more functional.
So I like it. I think it's a good way to start.
Ivan Soto in the chat says he really misses the trench coat. Are we glad that they remembered that Barbara's bisexual? I really enjoy that. I'm happy.
I didn't even catch that.
I guess,
did not catch that either.
Yay, bi visibility. I'm about that.
The show made that clear that they like she's bi because now she was with a man, she was with a woman, she's with a man now that it's just a thing that happens.
It's very subliminal.
I also think that Penguin's asexual, and I've gotten some flack for that in the comments.
Yeah, people didn't like that.
I mean, that's the comments, because I totally think that that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
for
I think it makes sense.
And I think for a show that's trying to give visibility to a character that happens to be bisexual, I love the idea of a character happening to just be asexual.
But I really want him and Zaz to work out. I'm still fighting for that.
Asexual people still have romantic love. They're just not into sex.
And I think that we get that when he's, like, following after Riddler.
That's what him and Riddler are all about.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
And no, we cannot ship Zaz.
Why? People on Twitter talked about it the first week, and I was like, yes, I actually liked that ship.
That is some fan fiction stuff, y'all. I see it.
But I like it.
I see you writing it. I get it. Visually, I understand the aesthetic.
I'll send you some links. it's the Alfred Zaz stuff that's pretty new.
Oh, that's interesting.
The Penguin Zaz stuff, it's been all summer.
That's like very power control.
How deep into Reddit are you? Steve's just like 2 a.m. Like, you don't even know Joel. Also,
I have more burner accounts than most people understand.
Oh my god. Yes, so I love it.
So you mentioned while we were watching the show that he was looking forward to seeing Jim in the two-piece on Reddit. I challenge you guys to do it better and faster.
That'll be front page
tweet
of our Gotham. Like, that's not much low-hanging fruit. Like, that's not even going to be fun.
Yes, tweet us those.
I want to see all this.
I brought up Oswald Cobblepot. He seems involved with this arms race. Without getting too predictions-y, how do we think this sword came to be? To be lost by Ra's al Ghul, to wind up on a shipment to Gotham, to wind up in Cobblepot's hands so that he could try to auction it off to Gotham's elite, which is between Barbara, who's funded by Ra's al Ghul, that's all but confirmed now, or Bruce, who just wants it because he happened upon it on the street once.
Personally, I think that somebody took it away from him and sent it to Oswald on purpose because he knew about it. And then when Bruce was looking through the book, it's like he kind of knew what he was looking for. Like he knew that it was something special. So I feel like this is all like a little circle like around.
I feel like we're missing our secret organization right now. Yeah. Which is kind of always, there's always some kind of hand or something going on in Gotham, controlling, pulling strings. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say there is some kind of organization that he was able, maybe a lot of times Raj is up against ancient monks who are like, you shouldn't have this power.
Yeah.
Please bring me ancient monks, Gotham. I'm ready for that.
I dig that.
You don't deserve this power. Let's give it a Cobblepot.
Also, it's being brought up in the chat that it is a sword. It's an embalming knife, not a sword.
Yeah, it's a knife.
I'm on the board. It's an embalming knife.
Knife. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a lot smaller than a sword.
Yeah, it's specifically an embalming knife. What else is that I'm trying to think of... That's the problem with Ra's al Ghul. In most forms you've seen him, has been portrayed as that overarching. Mm-hmm. That, like, he doesn't usually have equals as it comes to enemies. And anyone who could take that knife from him would be an equal foe. So I'm really interested to meet that person.
Yeah, definitely. If it's a singular person... You gotta think that person is definitely still alive and kicking. But then why did you lose the knife? I have so many questions.
I don't think the knife was lost. I think it was strategically placed.
Mm. I think it was
And it
taken.
Ended up with, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he lost
Yeah,
it
I don't
either.
Think it was lost.
ZSB Lou in the chat, what if Penguin gave them a dummy knife?
I also like that idea.
I think that's very likely.
That's really smart.
That's possible.
Yeah, I'm
not
going to
Penguin has the regular knife because he assumes Barbakin will come after him and that'll be fun. Also, we do have to touch on Selina Kyle's face mask real quick.
Oh, yeah. Her mask is 20 times better than Bruce's. Let's just be real about
it's
it.
It's better than Bruce's, but I still don't like it.
Aesthetically pleasing. I enjoyed it.
I don't like the fact that we didn't get to see her get her mask.
I'm okay with not seeing that. Because it doesn't... Really? Well, because and then they played it down as like, yeah, I wore a mask. Like, so they couldn't identify me. Like, it was... It wasn't a big thing. It's like Bruce Wayne putting on a cowl. Putting on a cowl up top the streets of Gotham, like that's a big deal. Whereas Selina Kyle putting on a mask so she doesn't get seen at the docks, I think they played that properly.
Well,
still a visual reveal, but like the character was like, well, whatever.
I have weird feelings about it because then we see her in the cat suit without any kind of like introduction either, and that's iconic.
Yeah.
So it's weird to me, and especially when the episode is all about like wearing masks and pretending to be other people and things like that. It's weird to me that Selina, who's the only other person to physically put on a mask in the show, doesn't kind of have like a setup or an entrance for that. Even if all we saw was her like pulling it down as she gets ready to go, I just think that maybe that was an important shot that got missed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every single character, when they've been introduced into like their mad character, they've had some sort of like entrance. It hasn't just been the Joker was just there and he was the Joker and we knew he was the Joker kind of thing. Like, at least every single one of them had like their little intro to like being that. And I feel like she didn't get the chance to do that. I was really hoping, like, that's one of the things that I was waiting for. Like, oh, I can't wait for Selina Kyle to become Catwoman.
I feel like that's happening, though.
Here's the thing.
Because for her to actually become Catwoman with her own autonomy, not reporting to Barbara, not reporting to Tabitha, not learning at their feet, not scavenging, like, not literally just scavenging on the street, like, that's still happening for
and
her.
And we had this scene where she was, like, on the ground with all the cats around her last season.
And Selina is the least changey person in that she is always kind of going to be Selina Kyle.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes she wears a mask, sometimes she does it. Like, but she's always the same kind of person and making her own decisions. Even when she's trying to get Barbara to like her, she's doing it very much on her own terms. Yeah. So, to some extent, I do hope that we get, like, a final, though. Like, maybe, like, even just, like, putting on the boots or something. Like, that's, like, really dope later when it's like, okay, this is the completed
I think there's
version.
A setup coming later.
So, speaking of dresses and accoutrement to a character. Enigma had a block of ice for a couple weeks.
Yes.
And now he didn't, thanks to Meredith, which was called. Which
I called that episode one. I said it was going to happen before episode four. And I was right.
Three. That is
one prediction right
came true.
I love that first week where we were doing predictions. And you're like, man, all your predictions seem really laser focused and right on. You're going to bet 1,000. And I'm like, nope. I buckshot predictions. Like, people talk about how I nail one. I only bat like 200 here. Like, I make a lot of predictions. I really like the Meredith character.
Myrtle.
Sorry. Myrtle. Ron Burgundy'd that board.
Too. I like, especially because Harley Quinn's a character everyone's kind of been calling for. Is Barbara or isn't she? And there's a lot of debate. I kind of like that they're like, you know what? We'll just give you a bunch of little Harley Quinn, like, little spontaneous moments. They did it with the kind of puffy circus-like sleeves earlier on. When she comes in, she's very bouncy and it looks as though she has pigtails and maybe a little crooked hat. At first, I thought we might be dealing with a Tetch kind of spinoff. With her in silhouette.
Like,
I was like, oh, interesting. I'm mad, though, because very quickly Myrtle rose to the top of, like, favorite characters. I was like, this is interesting. I like her. She's weird. No. She's kind of like a reverse Kris Kringle. I hate you right now, Zach. Yeah. What?
I did not like her. I was so happy when she died. I was like, yes.
What?
Oh, my God. That, like, made my life. Aside from Barbara coming back.
What?
She was just so, like, she was too quirky and just too out there. And I was like,
that's what makes Gotham.
Exactly. But for me, this was just too much. I was like, I'm not feeling her.
This was the correct amount.
Yes.
I think Gotham as a show is best when you have that character and then another character to completely ground them.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But see,
you're an insane
Enigma
person.
Didn't ground her.
Enigma grounded her completely as like, wait, you, my exploits?
Yeah.
I didn't have that many exploits.
Okay.
Like, well,
Enigma
also,
actually didn't have that many exploits. As the Riddler, he had like maybe a 3-week run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Enigma's like, he's had such like a messy like love situation going on where he was like genuinely in love and then he was like, someone was unrequitedly in love with him. And I just think it would have been interesting to see, like, he put Chris through so much. I would have loved to have seen those tables turn for, like, at least another episode.
Yeah, we need to get him a matchmaker. Like, he's had some really bad luck in love.
Bad luck. I don't know. He killed KK, so I don't call that bad luck.
Well, and then a complete, like, practically clone came back.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who thought Myrtle should have been played by that same actress? Just because there,
I think I would have liked it better if she was.
Yeah, so
I like Myrtle as it happened tonight. I'm all on board, and I'm hoping Zaz didn't actually shoot her in the face. They cut away for a reason.
You know what?
Don't say that. You just crushed it for me.
Sorry.
Well, they don't usually show people. I mean, they didn't do, like, a lot of times Gotham will go out and they do that hover shot where they're like, dead body. Done.
They didn't do that with this. We did not see the gunshot.
But can we also bring
Zaz
up the fact
that... Zaz is stone cold, though.
Why is Zaz shooting people? Like, well, I understand sometimes Zaz is going to have to use a gun. Yeah. Like, it's quick. We're in a lot of, like... I get it. But here, when it's, like, have fun, I was like, finally, Zaz with knives! I was like, elevated, super hyped. I was like, let's... A gun? That's not fun. I was like, I thought you were going to carve her up or something. I was very upset.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, there's some talk in the chat of, is Zaz a mercenary? I want to point out that Zaz, if you pay a mercenary enough money, he becomes your employee.
That's also true.
Like, if you need plumbing every day, yes, that plumber's an independent contractor, but he's at your house every day.
He's your plumber.
He's your plumber at that point, I think would be the best way to describe.
Oh, Evan Soda brings up a good question. Why dumb the Riddler down? It seems strange to do so. Here's why. The Riddler has always had his brain. It is the one thing that's always made him able to survive any situation, even going all the way back to season one, where he's just a medical examiner. But he's still, like, the jokes and the riddles are the thing that gets him through the day. By taking that away, and he has no allies, what we're hopefully going to get is a super savage Riddler. Like, I'm ready to see the Riddler, like, more, like, traps and things.
Yeah.
More, like, more constructive traps as opposed to the mental kind, and seeing how that maybe brings him back.
He'd be like the old man in Saw.
I personally thought that I personally thought that his riddles were what was keeping him sane, more than anything. So I think, like, now that he is cured, technically he's not sane. And I think that's going to be, like, really interesting to see how he's going to react, because he didn't kill the girl, but he left, and he was like, he didn't even think twice. He just, like, smacked her. And it was very, like you said, savage of him. So I think that him not being able to do the riddles in his head is going to make him go, like, crazy.
You have, like, to point out one thing, though, and that's the Penguin. When he comes in, he's like, it's weird that he would leave her alive, which is true. We have seen him be very kind of, like, quick to just pull someone's trigger. He doesn't really care. So I don't know. Maybe at first I felt like, yeah, definitely more savage, but now I'm questioning it.
Yeah,
that'll be more a prediction. I think we talked about Cobblepot and Zaz enough. Before I get into the future of Gotham and what Gordon did down in Miami, the info button says Miami. I'll fight you in the comments. I'm going to talk about Monday. The Charlie Wisco Television Network, the CW, brings you the front line of drama with the new military series Valor. Two Special Ops Army helicopters,
pilots
breaking boundaries and defying all expectations. Their bravery in the face of impossible odds earned them the Distinguished Flying Cross for Valor. But together they are funding that truth is the first casualty of the war. During their last mission, something went wrong, something no one is talking about. And when they went into the combat zone, not everyone came home. So now they have secrets. They're also patriots and refuse to leave any man behind. What would you do if you had to break the rules to do what's right? What would you stay grounded and step in line, or go to any lengths to learn the truth? They share secrets, go on clandestine missions, risk life and limb with only each other to depend on. How close would you get to the only person who really knows you? It's the explosive new drama that pushes the boundaries between military discipline and human nature. The new series that's right on target, Valor. The world premiere after the season premiere of Supergirl, Monday, only on Charlie Whiskey, the CW.
You need to check that out. Like, first of all, it's a lady helicopter pilot. It's the CW, so it's going to be romantic. It's going to be messy. And there's war. I'm really excited. I did not expect the CW to go in this direction. I'm kind of pumped
about it's
it.
Very, like, off from the CW's MO, whereas, like, you know, with the CW, they're going to bring, like, drama and, like, relationships and mix that in with the action thriller.
I really like the progression of the CW network shows-wise.
Because
at one point, they were, like, the One Tree Hill network.
Yeah.
They had high drama,
Gossip
low
Girl,
stakes.
One Tree
shows at the OC,
the OC was on Fox. Never mind. But like,
but like that.
Shows like the OC that were very high drama but very low stakes. And then when they got into the superhero game with Arrow, they moved more toward towards higher stakes, but in the fantasy realm.
Right.
So this is the natural progression of a real life drama.
Mm-hmm.
A real life drama based with real stakes but high drama. Mm. And yes. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's wonderful.
Star Drew, you do owe me $5. I watched all 2 hours of The Inhumans. We can talk about that online.
Oh, yes!
You missed that last week. Okay. Star Drew was like, we did a read for it. He's like, I bet you all won't watch it. I was like, you owe me $5. I'm totally going to watch.
Yeah.
She's got Venmo.
Yeah.
Hit me up. She's like, Cash App, Chase App, what you got? I'm ready.
What you got?
We drove the Comic-Con together. I Venmo'd her. So let's get into Gordon down in Miami with Carmine Falcone, the debut of Sophia
Yes.
Falcone. Words not happening tonight. I'll include Bullock there, but also pretty much the future of Gotham hinges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Both the Gotham overworld and underworld, because of Cobblepot, are kind of one and the same here. Is Sophia a mastermind or just a girl?
Mastermind.
Yeah, she's mastermind. Definitely a mastermind.
I'm excited. Well, I want to see more.
We already talked about this outside, but we know that Gordon cannot be in a relationship that isn't a hot
that,
mess.
I know. That's why all I loved he can do. It. It's like, you don't. I was literally yelling at the TV. I'm like, don't do it. But yet inside, I'm like, but I kind of want you to do it because, like, I know it's bad for you, but it's going to be so good to watch.
Several points. Sophia is hot as hell.
Yes.
She looks sharp.
Those outfits and the cleavage. I was like, whoa.
If you look at, like,
gangster.
Because Falcone is so, like, it's very classic Italian mob. So you've got the sharp shoulders, you've got the huge, good, clean lines. I like the way they adapted her outfits to be the very feminized version of that. She looks amazing. I will cop all the looks. But also, no, the minute she showed up, I was like, that's shady. I don't trust her at all.
No, yeah, we called that right off the bat. She was shady.
Who's so calm with their brother's murder?
Exactly.
Even if you completely understand the situation, are like, well, he was poisoned and there was nothing we could do. I still feel like you don't cozy up to and kiss your brother's killer day one.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of day two.
No.
Okay.
It was day one.
It was the same day.
Yeah.
She
had the same outfit.
Am I the only one who, just for Gordon's sake, for all Gordon's been through, and really for all Sophia's been through too, I wanted them to just have a tryst in Miami and then just stay down in Miami.
No.
Like, and just stay on that estate with Carmine and then just, like, you know what? We don't need to be here.
I'm super excited to see them work together to kind of take Gotham back.
That's true.
And I feel like it's going to be so sexy just like watching them, like, just, I don't know. I think they're going to work so good.
Lee is going to come back and be like, really though?
Oh, I know.
Really? So you killed her brother, my husband, and now the two of you, what is even happening? That'll be the thing that breaks
Lee
permanently.
That's the hot mess that I love though. It's like Real Housewives meets Gotham in like the perfect way.
Yeah, well, I do have to say, when he first saw her, when, like, he gets off the car, I'm like, I hope Lee is going through your mind right now, because Lee is probably thinking about you right now.
He moves on.
We've seen Lee, we've seen him with Barbara. Vicky Vale, yeah. Barbara's the only blonde he's ever been with on the show.
Yeah.
And then now this chick, I was like, this is just right up his alley.
But I think Barbara represented everything normal that he couldn't possibly like.
Right.
So much so that he kind of... The argument could be made that it was his involvement that turned Barbara into being the worst.
I think so. Make that argument.
You could make that argument. Many have made that argument. Mm-hmm. I think it takes two to turn someone into a Lazarus pitted arms dealer.
Okay, yeah. Definitely. Multiple hands were involved in that exchange.
Definitely.
Tabitha, Cobblepot. I think Fish Mooney was involved at one point. I think it was all stemmed from the goat at like season one.
The chat has evolved to It's Gotham, and I love Billie Jean 24. It's like, so being frozen made Edward lose his ability to do and figure out riddles. Wow. He has a brain freeze. It just needs to warm up. He's going to get right back on track. Don't worry about that.
I mentioned this while we were watching the show, and I said, oh my gosh, he's cured. Because I believe I think it was in the last episode, he was like, he's here. We had to freeze him because he's sick, and that's the only thing that could cure him. So in a way, he's cured, but not in the way that we want him to be cured.
I like the irony of that. Totally.
But I also like... as Joelle said about him, I like that we're going to get to see him grow and move as a character. He'll grow back to being the Riddler we want.
Do you guys think that now that he doesn't have the, that he's not, he's technically obviously still the real, the Riddler, but do you guys think that now he's that character that he used to see before? Do you guys remember like in season two when he was talking and then the other person would show up?
I feel like
now he's that person.
That would be worth kind of watching some of those scenes back now.
Right.
Yeah.
And like to see, I think as an act, like as an actor, that's something you would definitely inform yourself to do, that like the character I'm portraying in season one in a mirror to the actual character should be who I become.
Yes. Right, right, right.
So it would be good to see how full on the performance is.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so excited.
I just want him to have his cane back. Or no, he's never had the cane in this show, has he?
No.
I need the Riddler cane. It's my favorite accessory of the Riddler.
I feel like that would be the last step.
It is the final touch. He's got the hat. He has the suit. Yeah, totally.
So, do we have anything else about this episode before we dive into predictions? Because I think there's a lot to predict.
Chat was asking if we could just briefly touch on Alfred and Bruce.
Oh, yes.
Being dope as hell. They were amazing. I love seeing Alfred in the field. Like, I really, when he came up and was like, what are you doing up here? And I was like, oh, here we go. He's punching people in the face. It's great. And I'm really excited. We've been talking about watching billionaire Bruce Wayne, the costume, start to come out more. And today we got to see him go a little further. He hasn't figured out the nuances of being baby Bruce yet, but I'm looking forward to it. It was fun to see him go push, like, have fun with it, too.
Yeah. I think he played it better than we're giving him credit. I loved
Bratty Bruce. That was my favorite. Like, I was like, yes, give me more.
If he were a spoiled brat with no parental supervision for, like, very formative 4 years of his life, he would be that way.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing is that nobody knows him really besides Selena.
They know of him.
And Gordon.
Yeah.
And obviously like Fox and Alfred. But besides that, people don't really know how he is. So I love him playing this character for the audience. It's just like it was so much fun to watch.
And to quote one of my favorite lines from Batman Begins, it's "the apple has fallen very far from the tree." That is the Bruce Wayne he has to portray.
Right.
Yeah.
That his parents were saints while
my heart.
His parents were living saints.
Yes.
And he is also, in his own way, a living saint.
Yeah.
But he does it in a duality that if he was even close to a compassionate human being as Bruce Wayne, people would eventually find out that he's Batman and he cares about the city. Yes. So he has to portray someone who does not care about anything, including the city. And I think that's we're seeing the very beginning of this is the character you need to learn to play.
Definitely.
Also, I think that character could have also found a ship manifest pretty easily. Bruce Wayne, billionaire playboy, even Bruce Wayne, bratty little kid with a bunch of money, could have been like, I wanna pilot a steamboat. Here's $100,000.
Yeah, right, here's some cash.
This kid's gonna pilot the steamboat. That seems cool. He'll be back.
I think we see a lot of that Bruce coming out in the final exchange with Selena, too. If you look at that, no more of the kind of gentle, compassionate Bruce, and no more of even the, like, defending himself Bruce. He's like, you just need to leave. I was like, damn, Bruce. Okay, he's over it now. Not even over it, but I think he's moved on to the kind of obsessive crime-fighting headspace. Yeah. Like, there's no more of these kind of teenage feelings of, like, how are you, and what's going on, and do we like each other? He's like, look, Selena, I don't have time for your BS, run errands. For Barbara, crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm here, I got a thing to do, this is my sword, I paid $2 million for it.
I like it.
Respect, and like that also fits the character he's creating, which is, like, you imparted the value on the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just some bratty kid who wanted all the things everyone else wanted.
Yeah. Right.
Point out something? I just want to say that the people who, like, the actors that play these characters, most of them have had to play, like, the same character but in two different ways.
Yeah.
Like, Jim, when he was technically the other crazy guy that was underneath... Yep. And then now Bruce, and I think Selena's the only one that's been, like, sane, but, like, the Riddler and, like, Oswald when he was sane, kind of. And I really love that. I love them being able to get into, like, two different characters with the same character, because you just, I don't know. I love it. It's so cool. So I love them for bringing those both of the two characters alive.
Yeah. Are we ready to dive into the predictions?
I am. Let's do this. Predictions. Thank you.
I know. We didn't get lights.
We were upset about
it. We only got, like, predictions. So like, that was Steve the only thing that we got.
Y'all didn't manage your time right. That's what it means if you don't get lights.
Yep.
It means they have to just put the buzzer and get you out of here. You leave yourself 5 whole minutes for predictions. They play the light.
Yeah.
So before we get into predictions at large, I just want to ask a broad question.
Yes.
Do we think Sophia is a mastermind enough that the blade... and the blade being taken away from Ra's al Ghul and then winding up in the hands of Cobblepot in the midst of Gotham, which is in the midst of a power vacuum, was all her?
No. No.
I don't.
I'm not convinced it was a thought I had. I want to run it by my brain trust.
I don't think so.
Here's why I could potentially buy into that theory. Her thing at the end of, what do you think I've been doing for the last 10 years?
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
She has been planning something.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, is it the stuff with the knife? I don't know. But if it was, I wouldn't be horrendously shocked. It wouldn't be a It's Gotham moment where you're like, where is this even coming from?
Where it's like, no, a Falcone spent 10 years plotting.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any Falcone, like, because Mario, that's before the Tetravirus, seemed to have no interest in actually taking over Gotham.
Yeah.
Whereas Sophia seems hell-bent on taking over Gotham.
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm.
It's her birthright. Oh, God, this one just happened, too. Am I the only one who thinks she could be putting trace amounts of arsenic in Carmine Falcone's food in an attempt
to slowly kill him
so she can claim her birthright?
I like Ivan's comment. Sophia Falcone is the hangman in the comics or a cop killer, which would be amazing. It would be amazing if she was just went back, like, levied up to Gordon and then just slowly started killing off cops. Where Gordon's like, who is this mastermind? You're sleeping with her.
Yes.
That would be really cool.
I don't see that quite happening in the same arc we're talking about, but I do see a future in which she's a cop. She's the hangman.
Yeah.
And is killing a bunch of cops around Gotham. Also, we got that new detective. It just kind of happened briefly where we're just like, new face. What?
Wait, right at
the
end.
Yeah, right at the end, right before Sophia came back and all our breaths were taken away again. There was a new cop. There was a new detective.
There was a new detective.
Bullock was just like, we have a new detective.
Okay.
Also, Penguin is trying to privatize the GCPD, and So I think Sophia's first order of business is to gather all the families back to get loyal to her so that she can move forward. She can move forward with the GCPD not being privatized, and for Penguin's rule to be delegitimized at the very least.
I'm just super excited to see Sophia square off with Barbara.
Yeah.
Because they're clearly going to be on different sides of things. And I feel like when two crazies meet, it's just beautiful. I really want to see them go at it. Yeah. And especially now that Barbara can fight, guys.
Barbara can fight.
She was amazing at it, and she looked good doing it.
Yes.
So I would really like to see a Barbara Sophia, like, just knock down, drag them out, fight.
Yeah, they're going to fight. I'm interested. Like, it's going to be a real power struggle as we see the Riddler come back in, as we see Barbara kind of, you know, have her own deal with struggling with coming back into power. And Penguin's now, he has all of these people that are going to be fighting for Gotham with him as well. So I'm interested to see that power struggle.
I don't have as many leading questions as I usually have. So what are everyone's predictions at large? What are we expecting?
Lee's coming back.
Yes.
I think Lee's coming back.
That actress hasn't had that baby yet, though. Right?
It's okay. They know how to shopping trick bags. With the... Yeah.
Okay.
They know how to, like, jackets and...
I don't know if Lee will be back, but I feel like Bruce has had too good of a run. Bruce has been on, like, a spree of, like, just doing great stuff. We do see a single-tier role in the previews for next week. I think he Fs up somewhere along the way. He gets too cocky. He's not listening to Alfred.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's not going to last much longer.
I personally think that Falcone is actually going to aid his daughter. Like, he's going to guide her on what to do. If they are the master, wow, I can't speak now.
Words today, all day, yeah.
If the mastermind planned was actually theirs, I think he's going to guide her to get it all done. Or what I also think is, I think that he's not sick. I think that he's having, like, she's going and she pretended, like, oh, yeah, like, I'll go, like, oh, it's my birth thing. But really, Falcone has something in his back pocket.
I think there are two outcomes. One is he's sick, but it's her doing.
Yes,
or the other is she's his consigliere the whole way.
Yeah.
And that maybe she'll step out. Maybe at one point she'll make a move to step out of his shadow and step out from his plan. But it's one or the other. She's either a mastermind or he's the mastermind.
Yeah. She's killing him.
I also...
I think she's killing him. She's killing him.
I'm going to go and just throw a whole wrench in all of this.
Uh-oh.
I think that she... Okay, so she comes back. She has a plan. I think she fails miserably and winds up dying. And that's the thing that brings Falcone back to Gotham.
That cures his arsenic poisoning.
It's terrible. I don't know if it'll...
Well, his daughter's not going to be there to poison him anymore, so he might get better and end up coming back.
Yeah, he might do some chelation.
If the poisoning is true.
If she's an evil enough mastermind to have done all the things we're giving her credit to do, I'm pretty sure she has a maid. I'm pretty sure she touched a maid to do the poisoning. Yeah.
And then that maid hooks up with Alfred.
Oh my goodness.
That's all Gotham, guys. Amazing.
Do we have any other predictions before we head on out of here?
I'm good.
I think we've covered all the bases here tonight.
You guys can join us next week when we're going to talk about more Gotham. It's going to be so much fun. In the meantime, you can find us all individually on different websites. Mm-hmm. Starting on my far left, whichever website you'd like to...
Hi, guys. I'm Carla Beltran. I don't know why I'm saying hi. I mean bye. we've been talking for the past, like, almost 45 minutes. But my hi and my bye to you guys. I'm saying hi and bye because I'm actually not going to be joining you guys next week. I will be out of town. But I will definitely be back the following week. So you can follow my travels, which I'm going to Marrakesh, on my Instagram at Carla B Travels. And it's Carla with a K and B-E. And my Twitter is at Carla Beltran with an R at the end.
I will be back next week. Bye. And you can follow me at Just Plain Zach across all social media platforms. Made it easy. And JustPlainZach.com. All the links are in there, so you can just go there.
Guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Head over to the site tomorrow to check my review of The Death and Life of Marsha P. Johnson, which I saw on Netflix last night. It was amazing documentary. It's super good. David French is a wonderful human being for making this, and you definitely want to check it out.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-M. I also have a YouTube channel that has a vlog called The Sober Year. You can go to thesoberyear.com. I'm currently on week 17 of The Sober Year, where I've reached 17 weeks of not drinking. It's been since my birthday, June 1st, so I do... hopefully a weekly vlog about that.
Sorry.
Why are you clapping? It's an important milestone.
I'm happy for you, I guess. Yay. But
thank you, Gothamites, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.